Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten us on our topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 16th Chapter, 8th Verse onwards. Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your time and association this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Please take over the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Vanya, Mataji, for your warm welcoming. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 18, Verse number 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And read the verse and the purport.
Deva Shatya Saudevo Naradeva Vapur Hari Krishra Prana Prajahyesha Rakshishyati Anjasendravat.
Translation. When there is no rainfall and the citizens are in great danger due to the scarcity of water, this royal personality of Godhead will be able to supply rains exactly like the heavenly king Indra. Thus, he will very easily be able to protect the citizens from drought. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada Ki Jai. King Prithu is very appropriately compared to the sun and the demigod Indra. King Indra of the heavenly planets is in charge of distributing water over the earth and other planetary systems. It is indicated that King Prithu would arrange for the distribution of rainfall personally if Indra failed to discharge his duty properly. Sometimes the king of heaven Indra would become angry at the inhabitants of the earth if they did not offer sacrifices to appease him. King Prithu, however, being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, did not depend on the mercy of the heavenly king. It is foretold herein that if there would be a scarcity of rain, King Prithu would manage to counteract the difficulty by virtue of his godly powers. Such powers were also exhibited by Lord Krishna when he was present in Vrindavan. Indeed, when Indra poured incessant water on Vrindavan for 7 days, the inhabitants were protected by Krishna, who raised the Govardhan hill overhead as an umbrella. Thus, Lord Krishna is also known as Govardhanadhari.
Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padal Sahagana Lalita శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచనా గౌరాంగీ రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరే ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యయేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమామి విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర్భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. So we are reading the translation again. This is Canto 4, Chapter 16, Verse Number 8. Translation is, when there is no rainfall and the citizens are in great danger due to the scarcity of water, this royal personality of Godhead will be able to supply rain exactly like the heavenly king Indra. Thus, he will be very easily be able to protect the citizens from drought. Okay. So we see that this chapter is entitled Praise of King Prithu by the Professional Reciters. We see that after the coronation of Maharaj Prithu, who was an empowered incarnation of the Lord, the bards in the assembly, they came forward to glorify Prithu, and they began predicting what Prithu would be doing as a king. So this chapter at length talks about the duties of an ideal king. Now Prithu was one such ideal king, and the bards had already predicted it. So in this chapter, which is chapter 16, we see that in the first three verses of this chapter, it is explained why these bards are actually glorifying Prithu. So they glorified Prithu for two reasons. The first reason is because they naturally had a taste for glorifying his wonderful activities. So that is the first reason that is explained in the Bhagavatam. And the second reason why they were glorifying Prithu so much is because they were encouraged by the sages. So the sages told them, continue to glorify him. So therefore, keeping these two reasons in the front, these bards, they were glorifying Prithu Maharaj. Now, in verses 4 to 5 of this chapter, we see how these bards are actually glorifying this Prithu Maharaj as an upholder of dharma. So they say that he will be the best among the followers of dharma. First of all, a king should himself follow by and show by example. So therefore, they say that he will be the best among the followers of dharma. Not only that, he will engage everybody in following dharma, and he will also give protection to dharma and chastise the people who oppose dharma. So these four functions are then described in the next few verses, from verses 4 to 5, about how King Prithu will specifically take care of dharma, okay, because dharma is extremely important. Now, from verses 6 to 14, we see how King Prithu actually acts like different demigods. Being the perfect king, Prithu Maharaj will function like various demigods. So that is the content we see in verses 6 to 14. And our current verse of interest is verse 8. Okay. Before that, we will see what was touched upon in 6 and 7. In verses 6 and 7, it is described how this Prithu Maharaj will act exactly like Suryadev. That was verse 6. How he exactly acts like Suryadev. Now, what is Suryadev's function? Surya is supposed to evaporate water for 8 months and release that water during the 4 months of the monsoon season. So similarly, this King Prithu Maharaj will exact taxes from all the people and he will release it during the time of need. Not only that, just like how Surya is merciful to everybody, his rays shine across and everybody is benefited. Similarly, this King Prithu Maharaj, his mercy will be equal to all. Okay? So the first demigod that was compared was Suryadev. Now, in the next verse, which was our previous verse, verse number 7, we saw how King Prithu will also function exactly like Bhumi Devi. Now, what is the greatest quality of Bhumi Devi? The greatest quality is tolerance. She's so tolerant, right? So like that, King Prithu will exhibit extreme tolerance, so much so that he will be very forgetful and forgiving even to people who trample over his head. Just like how when we trample over Mother Earth, she doesn't take offense. Like that, Prithu Maharaj will function just like Bhumi Devi. So these two qualities are described already in the previous two verses. One is his merciful nature, just like the sun, being equal to everyone. That is the first thing, just like Suryadev. The second is how Prithu Maharaj will be very, very tolerant, just like Mother Earth. Now, let's see what is described in verse number 8. So we have all heard in general that a king is referred as Naradeva. Nara means people and Deva is the lord of the people. So therefore, he is always described as the leader or the lord of all human beings. However, here we see in the translation of this verse and the word-to-word meaning, we see that this king Prithu Maharaj was specifically referred as Naradeva Vapu Harihi. That is, Lord Hari himself was there in this body of a king. Because this Prithu was a Shaktyaveshavatar. And not only that, since he was a Shaktyaveshavatar of the Supreme Lord, he also embodied all the demigods in him, the function of all the demigods. So therefore, we will see that in the future verses also, even after verse number 8, this theme will continue. Prithu Maharaj will be glorified to be functioning like different demigods, not only like Surya, Bhumi, and this verse talks about Indra, not only about these three demigods, but the future verses will also talk about how Prithu Maharaj was just like Chandra, Varuna, Agni, Vayu, Dharma, and even like the Supreme Lord Vishnu himself, who maintains everybody. So this is the theme of the glorification of the bards. Now, this Prithu Maharaj's qualities we see is a very sharp contrast to the qualities exhibited by his father Vena. Now, Vena also was Naradeva. He was also a king. But the problem with Vena was that he was thinking, I am Naradeva, so only I should be worshipped. No one else should be worshipped. And he was extremely arrogant and he took the law in his hands and he behaved he didn't behave properly according to the laws that was set. Okay, so he behaved inappropriately. But whereas this Prithu Maharaj, though he was glorified as being Naradeva, he was extremely humble and he was very much aware of his duties as a good king. Now, specifically concentrating on this verse, we see that this Prithu Maharaj is being described exactly like Indra, who is supplying rain to everyone. And the verse itself also says that even if there is no rain, even if there is no rain provided by Indra, this Prithu will do something to make sure that there is rain, and he will go to any extent to protect his citizens from any kind of drought that may happen. So therefore, this Prithu Maharaj, just like Indra, he will provide the rain and he will be unfailing in his duty of giving protection. So this is the quality that is exhibited in this verse. So we saw already that he will be merciful, he will be tolerant, and the next quality that is being described in this verse is that he will be unfailing in his duty to give protection, even if there is some problem and the citizens will not suffer from any extreme calamities like drought and other calamities. Okay. Now, let's see what is this yajna all about. What is this yajna? Because in this verse it is described that there is a procedure, there is a Vedic procedure that is followed if one needs rainfall. If the city or the country needs rainfall, in the Vedic tradition, there is a procedure that is followed for the for inducing rainfall to happen. So we all know that in the Bhagavad Gita, there are a few verses that talk about this particular concept of performing yajna to get rainfall. Ishtan bhogan ki vo deva dasyante yajna bhavitah tairdatta napradhayaibho yobhunte stena evasah. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Okay, so therefore, we are supposed to perform yajnas to satisfy demigods. And if we don't do so, we are only considered a thief. This is what is said in the Bhagavad Gita. And the very next verse, which is very famous, says, Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanya tanna sambhavah yajnyat bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudbhavah. All living bodies subsist on food grains. How are these food grains produced? They are produced from rains. If there is no water, there is no food grain. Rains, how are they produced? Rains are produced by the performance of yajna, sacrifice. And what is this yajna born of? This yajna is born of one's prescribed duties. So, this is the procedure that is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and in all the Vedic texts. Now, these demigods, they are authorized to supplying agents on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. So, therefore, Vishnu or the Supreme Lord is telling that let these demigods be satisfied by you all performing yajnas. And there are various kinds of yajnas that are prescribed for different kinds of demigods. But ultimately, whatever yajna you may be doing or offering, ultimately the supreme beneficiary of all the yajnas is the Supreme Lord, Lord Sri Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the general process that is being followed, and this is the process that is given to us from the Vedic text. Now, on a material level, we all know from our science books that rain is produced by the evaporation of water from large bodies, and then these water molecules, they rise up, they condense, they form clouds, and the clouds give us rain. So this is what we learn from our science book. Yes, this is correct. It is a mechanical process that is followed. But however, we should understand that there is something beyond this. For all this to happen, there are specific personalities who govern these things. Okay, it just doesn't happen without a controller. There is a controller for everything, right? Whatever we see in this world, there is a personality behind that. So similarly, it's just not a physical process, but they are personalities who control these different elements of nature. So demigods are these personalities who control these elements of nature, and we are, in fact, dependent on them for them regularly giving us these supplies of the gifts of nature that we are dependent on. So it is explained in this purport by Srila Prabhupada that Prithu Maharaj, he will be like a perfect king and he will discharge all his duties very diligently in such a way that rain will be showered in his kingdom very, very nicely. However, if at all this demigod who is in charge of supplying rain, Indra, if he does not supply rain, then it is indicated that Prithu Maharaj himself would arrange for the distribution of rainfall personally. Now, why would Indra fail in his duty? For that, Srila Prabhupada, he explains that sometimes a demigod like Indra may become angry with the inhabitants if they do not offer sacrifices properly. If they do not appease him properly, if they don't make him happy, sometimes these demigods, they become angry. But even if there is some shortcoming on the part of the people, Prithu Maharaj would personally make sure that the rains are arranged by his godly powers. This is what Prabhupada says. So he would protect his citizens against any drought or any calamity by his godly powers. Of course, we all know what happened during the Govardhan Leela pastime. Indra was very, very upset with the Vrajavasis because they all listened to Krishna. And instead of doing Indra Puja, they rather worshipped Govardhan Hill on Krishna's instruction. So therefore, this Indra, he was very infuriated. And after all, Indra is a demigod. And he is a conditioned living entity just like all of us. So he was impelled by the modes of passion and ignorance which demigods have not really conquered. So out of anger, what did Indra do? Indra poured heavy rain so much so that the entire Vrajabhumi was inundated. So that is what Indra did. And at that time, Krishna himself, he protected everyone by lifting the Govardhan Hill, and he gave protection to each and every Vrajavasis from this huge calamity. So the Supreme Lord, who is the controller of all these small demigods, he knows very well how to protect everyone, even if they fail to perform their duty. So one may question, if performing sacrifices is so important, it is extremely important because we are dependent on the demigods, right? So if it is so important that performing sacrifices is so important, how can, why should Krishna stop the offerings to Indra? Why should Krishna specifically do that in that pastime? So we should understand that Krishna there, he was performing a specific pastime where he wanted to cry the pride of Indra. Because Indra had developed a lot of pride. He was thinking that he is a great controller. Indra had developed a lot of pride. Not only that, Krishna also wanted to enjoy some pastimes with his Vrajavasis. And in the process, he wanted to give special mercy to Indra and teach everybody that whatever sacrifice is done, ultimately, it is not the demigods who is the beneficiary, but ultimately, it is only Krishna, who is the ultimate beneficiary of all these sacrifices. All sacrifices are done for the pleasure of Vishnu. So he wanted to teach these things, and therefore this pastime of the Govardhan Leela happened. In this relation of satisfying the Supreme Lord, another example is given, which is feeding the stomach. So when we eat food, all the parts of the body, like the hands and other parts of the body, they are all engaged in only feeding the stomach, right? So unless the stomach is fed, the entire body cannot be nourished. So therefore, all the body parts, they work in cooperation just to feed the stomach so that the entire body becomes energized. So similarly, when we satisfy Krishna, then everyone and everything else is ultimately satisfied. So that's why the Govardhan pastime, though Krishna stopped Indra Puja, he told everybody to give offerings to Govardhan, and he himself being Govardhan, he himself took the form of Govardhan and he personally accepted all these offerings. Okay. Now, just like how we saw what happened in the Govardhan pastime, how Krishna personally came forward and gave protection to everybody, similarly, we see that here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that King Prithu was completely capable of counteracting any deficiency by the virtue of his godly powers, even if Indra did not give rain. So being an incarnation of the Lord, he didn't have to so much worry about the mercy of Indra. Even if there were some shortcomings, Prithu would personally take care of it. And he was a real empowered king. So we know that this performance of Yajna, we are talking about Prithu Maharaj, we are talking about Govardhan Leela pastime, we are talking about all these examples. Yeah, this all happened, but what is applicable in the age of Kali? That is something that we should know. So we see that in this age and time, some places are severely affected by drought. There are some places where there is heavy downpour. Rain is not uniformly distributed, and we hardly see any pious kings. There are hardly any pious kings in the world. So therefore, again and again, it is stressed in all the purports of Srila Prabhupada that the sacrifice for this age is the chanting of holy names. Yajnanam japa yajnosmi, 10:25 Bhagavad Gita. So of all the sacrifices, Krishna says, I am the chanting of the holy names, japa. Japa is extremely important for this age. Congregational chanting, sankirtan, that becomes very, very important in this age of Kali. Even in history, we are talking about this age, we are talking about what happened previously, how Prithu Maharaj was capable of counteracting problems, how Krishna himself being the Supreme Lord went and he lifted Govardhan Hill to protect all the citizens. There are other stories in history. Like there is one story which is very, very famous. It is known as the story of Rishyashringa. So this Rishyashringa, he was a very pious, he was a very austere sage who was capable of counteracting such severe conditions like drought and other calamities. And he was instrumental in bringing rains. So in the Balakanda of the Ramayana, there is the story of Rishyashringa. And the same story is also elaborated in the Mahabharata in a more detailed version. So there was a sage by the name Vibhandaka, and his son was actually known by the name Rishyashringa. Now this Vibhandaka, he spent a lot of time in penance and austerities in the forest, and once it so happened that seeing the amount of penances that this sage Vibhandaka was performing, Indra became very, very agitated. Indra got very, very worried that this sage is performing austerities to assert his position. He always thinks like that. He's very, very guarded about his post. So he was thinking that this sage is performing all these austerities just to take away my post. So at that time, as usual, Indra, he followed his usual trick. He sent some apsaras to disturb him. And there was a apsara by the name Harsha who went to disturb the sage Vibhandaka. And because of Harsha, this Vibhandaka ended up having a child whose name was Rishyashringa, who had the horn of a deer on the crown of his head. So he was born like that. And this Vibhandaka, he was very, very unhappy that his celibacy was broken. He was disturbed and he ended up having a child. So he saw this child and he wanted to bring up this child to be as chaste as possible. So in order that this child may not have any desires, what he did was he established a hermitage in the middle of the a forest that was away from all human habitation, and he made sure that this child never comes across a single woman. Okay, so this child wouldn't know what a woman is. So he taught him all the Vedas, the Upanishads, and all the philosophy. But this child never knew that there were even women in the world. So he believed that everybody looked exactly like him and like his father. So this was the impression that was created in this child's mind while he was being brought up. During the time of Rishi Sringa and his father Vibhandaka, in the kingdom of Angadesh, which was ruled by Romapada, King Romapada had a big problem. Now, who is this Romapada? Romapada was the dear friend of King Dasharatha Maharaj, who was the father of Ram. And Dasharatha had given his daughter, Shanta, who was born before the four brothers, Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna. So before them, Shanta was born. But Dasharatha gave Shanta in adoption to Romapada because Romapada didn't have any children at that time. Yeah. So this Romapada was a very, very dear friend of Dasharatha Maharaj, and he was the king of Angadesh. However, at that time, there was a problem. During a particular yajna that was performed by this king Romapada, he had cheated a brahmana. First, he had promised this brahmana that I'll give you so many diamonds. But then while counting the diamonds that he was giving for dakshina, he found one particular diamond that was of very high quality. So what he did was he took out the diamond, which was very, very precious and which was of high quality, and he substituted that diamond with a bigger diamond. Okay? So that was the mistake that this king Romapada did. Now, when he gave this dakshina to the brahmana, when he received this bag of diamonds, as soon as he touched this bag of diamonds, he could understand that actually Romapada had cheated him. Just by his mystic power and by the level of austerities that this brahmana did, he could find out the mistake that was done by Romapada. So he told Romapada, "What is this? I'm a Brahmin and you're cheating a Brahmin? There is so much falsehood in your kingdom. There is so much falsehood in the leader. What kind of leader are you? You're cheating a brahmana. So this is not fair." And he just gave up those diamonds and he walked away. And when he walked away, he also cursed this land that no more brahmanas would live there. Now, because brahmanas did not live in this land of Angadesh, automatically there was no yajnas that were performed. It was Treta Yuga. If there were no yajnas, that means there was no food. Why there was no food? Because there was no rainfall. In anger, Indra had withheld all the rainfall from that kingdom. So like this, this country at that time was suffering from a very, very, very debilitating famine. There was no rain, there was no food. Everybody in this country was suffering. And for many years, they didn't have rains. So at that time, Romapada, being the king, he was very worried what to do. He was trying to counteract this problem by so many ways. He was doing so many things to somehow or the other appease Indra and bring back the rainfall. But nothing happened. Everything went in vain. So at that time, when he was discussing with his ministers, one of the ministers had a very good idea. So one of the ministers, he told him, "You should bring Rishi Sringa. Because Rishi Sringa is a very chaste sage. He is very chaste. He is the best among all the celibates. He has not even seen a woman. And he has performed so much austerities and he has developed so much powers. Just by his piety, our entire kingdom can actually be benefited." So when Romapada heard this idea, he was very happy and he wanted to arrange for the sage to come. But then Rishi Sringa, it was not easy for him to come because Vibhandaka would not let him go. Because already Vibhandaka had a very bad experience in the past. So he was very protective about his son. And if someone would try to come and disturb his son, obviously they would be burnt into ashes. So everyone was very, very scared to go and bring Rishi Shringa so that Indra would give rain. Okay, so this was the plan given, but they didn't know how to execute it. Then again, after discussing with some ministers, they came up with a plan, and they thought that they would send some of the courtesans, some of the women, to go and entice him and bring him. So the plan was to send some of the most beautiful women dressed as men, dressed as sannyasis, and somehow entice this Vibhandaka and bring him into the kingdom. So what happened was, one of the courtesans, she decided, she said, look, I know there is going to be a huge issue if I do this. If Vibhandaka gets to know about this, he will surely curse me and I'll be dead. But still, I want to do something for our kingdom because this drought cannot continue for too long. So this lady said, I will do it. And she dressed herself like a sannyasi and she took a few other women with her. And they made a boat into a hermitage. That is, they transformed a boat into a nice hermitage. And this boat would float on the water and it would reach the forest where this sage Rishi Shringa was staying. So the plan was to somehow entice this sage and bring him back in the boat and make him step on the land of Angadesh. Okay, so this was the plan that they had. And as per the plan, this woman, she dressed up very nicely and she took lots of gifts to nicely entice Rishi Shringa. And when Rishi Shringa's father, Vibhandaka, was away from home, they executed this plan. This girl who was dressed in the garbs of a sannyasi, she went with all the fruits and nice costly gifts. And she went and she started talking to Rishi Shringa in the absence of his father. So she went and she introduced herself. She said, I am a sage who lives close by in a hermitage. And I heard about your glories, so I came to meet you. So she went and she started speaking very, very sweetly to Rishi Shringa. And Rishi Shringa, who had never, ever seen a woman in his life, he was so much struck by the beauty of that girl, though she was dressed like a man. So he said, you're shining so beautifully. You look so lustrous. And he began to welcome her and he began to worship her. So just seeing the different bodily features of this person who was in front of him, actually, Rishi Shringa was completely enticed. And he began talking to her very nicely. And this lady was offering him garlands and fruits and all nice, pleasant things. And finally, Rishi Shringa was actually enticed to go with them. So this woman invited Rishi Shringa and told him that we live in an ashram close by, so we want you to visit our ashram. And somehow or the other, she took away Rishi Shringa with him. So Rishi Shringa, he went and he got into this particular hermitage, which was actually a floating hermitage. It was a boat. So he entered that boat and they sailed across and they came to the shores of Angadesh. Now, as soon as Rishi Shringa set his foot on Angadesh, immediately there was a huge downpour of rain. So this incident, it is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in one sentence, actually, in the 9th canto, chapter 23, verses 7 to 10, it is mentioned. When the demigods from the heavenly planets failed to shower rain, Rishi Shringa was appointed as the priest for performing a sacrifice. And after being brought from a forest by the allurement of prostitutes who danced, staged theoretical performances accompanied by music and embraced him and worshipped him. After Rishi Shringa came, rain fell in that country. So this is 9:23, 7 to 10 Srimad Bhagavatam. You can refer to it. The detailed story is what I told you now, and it is described both in the Balakanda Ramayana as well as in Mahabharata in one place. Okay. So this is the story of one person who just by his presence, actually even as soon as he landed, it started raining. And he performed yajnas at a time when Indra was failing to give rainfall. And Indra was pleased and all the demigods were pleased. The Supreme Lord was pleased just by his purity and his piety. and rains came back to Angadesh, and Rompada was very, very happy. And of course, it was the same Rishyashringa who did the Putrakameshti Yajna for Dasharath Maharaj, and only after that Putrakameshti Yajna, Dasharath himself could get these four sons. So that was the level of purity of Rishyashringa. So on a similar note, why are we telling all the story? It's because we want to connect it to the current verse that we are speaking. So on a similar note, even by the presence of Srila Prabhupada today, we see that Srila Prabhupada could bring about a huge transformation in this age of Kali by initiating so many devotees into Krishna consciousness and making them such powerful devotees. Now, in this age of Kali, can you even imagine that so many thousands and thousands and millions of people would become Krishna conscious? How was it possible? It was possible just by the potency of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, just setting his foot in the West, created such a huge change in the hearts of so many people. So much so that the prediction for the golden era, which is the first 1,000 years of Kali Yuga, became a reality in Srila Prabhupada's presence. As he himself rightly has told, that his books are indeed the law books for the next 1,000 years. So that is the potency of a pure person. Just like how when Rishyashringa set his foot in Angadesh, Angadesh was relieved from a huge calamity. Similarly, as soon as Srila Prabhupada set his foot in the West, we saw such a huge transformation, not only for the Western world, but also for the Eastern world. Even in India, so many misguided people are now back into the right track. So we are all very greatly fortunate, actually. We are very greatly fortunate and blessed by Srila Prabhupada's preaching efforts in spreading the yajna for this age, which is Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan Yajna. And it is by this Sankirtan Yajna that a lot of problems in this world can be naturally counteracted. So there are famous incidents, like there was one incident during the time of Prabhupada in Hyderabad in 1972. Prabhupada proved that by performing Sankirtan, by loudly chanting the holy names of the Lord by pure devotees, Prabhupada was able to counteract a severe drought in Hyderabad in 1972, and he was able to bring rain to a place that had not seen rains even for more than a year. So that was the potency that Prabhupada exhibited. So if we practice Sankirtan Yajna seriously, we can counteract all the problems of this age. Therefore, we see ultimately it is with devotional service, it is with bhakti that everything else is also accomplished. Whatever we receive in this world, be it food grains, be it the air we breathe, water we drink, or anything that is given to us by the mercy of the Lord through the agency of the demigods, whatever is there, by offering it back in sacrifice, we see that actually we can be benefited. Just by offering it back in sacrifice to the Supreme Lord, the demigods are automatically pleased and everyone is blessed. So how do we practically perform yajna? We practically perform yajna by chanting our japa regularly, by going on sankirtan, doing congregational chanting, and more importantly, offering our food, that is offering bhoga, so that Krishna is pleased. And when we take the remnants, then we are completing the cycle of yajna. So that is what we need to do on our part. And by the Lord's mercy, everybody can be pleased. So whether the leader of the society is competent or not, whether, you know, in today's world, in those days we saw Prithu Maharaj was there, he would personally take care of problems. But in today's age and time, whether we have a leader who's competent or not, at least we can do what we can do on our part, right? We have some things that we can do. At least let's follow what we can do. So to summarize, we see that Prithu Maharaj was an efficient and he was an infallible administrator. He was competent, he was competent, he was able to give protection to everyone during the time of need, and he was an infallible administrator who was capable of counteracting all the problems in the kingdom. And he was so good that even if Indra failed in his duty, He was able to take care of the drought because he was empowered, and he functioned perfectly like all the demigods. So we have seen three demigods so far. We have already seen Surya, we have seen Bhumi Devi, and we have seen Indra. How Prithu Maharaj functioned like each of these demigods. So in the future verses, we will see how he functions like all the other demigods like Chandra, Vayu, Agni, and others. So that's all I have for today. So if anyone has any questions, realizations, corrections, additions, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanan Pradam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Such a beautiful lecture, wonderful start for our day. And I love this pastime. I haven't heard about this before. It was wonderful to understand. And how you made an analogy of that pastime with Prabhupada setting foot on the west, how he made a difference. So yeah, thank you so much Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Panika Mataji. Thank you for your kind words and thank you for your
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Gopi, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam to your sincere Seva. You explained Prithu Maharaj's story and again you explained how Prabhupada has to give association of senior Vaishnava and preach abroad. And Mataji, that is, and one story also. That is, you start a day with Srishti Bhagavatam like charge the battery, our battery. Thank you, Mataji. It's a very lecture in class. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Vanda Gopika, Mataji. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for your blessings as always. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, very, very beautiful class Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. Thank you so much for telling about King Vena, King Prithu and so many other stories. Very nice Mataji. Can we compare King Vena and Hiranyakashipu Mataji?
Why not? I mean, they were very similar. They wanted everyone to worship them and they thought they were the ultimate controllers. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, because you are saying them as Nara. What word you have used, Mataji?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said that they wanted everybody to worship them, right? Yeah. Then I was remembering Hiranyakashipu because he wanted everybody to worship him, right? So that's exactly what I was asking you. Yeah. Very nice, Mataji. And you quoted the verse of Bhagavad Gita that you have taught us in last week. That was very nice, Mataji. So related was to this topic also. Thank you for I was so happy hearing again the about that verse. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vinaya Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Mataji.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mataji. Srila Sri Mataji. In Bhagavatam also, Prabhupada's appearance and activities are predicted. That, that verse I forget, but the translation is just goes like this. That in misguided and people, in misguided people in the Kali Yuga, they can be relieved and they can be brought back to their path, and something like that. It refers to the Prabhupada, that Prabhupada came and all the misguided people, they have been turn to the proper path. So thank you very much for also explaining about all this Prabhupada's potency. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. That, yeah, that is a very, very nice addition. It increases weightage. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Good afternoon, Akshay. Yeah, just one question. I don't know if I heard properly or improperly. That part of the story where Ramtat Maharaj was accused by the Brahmana of cheating him because he replaced, I thought you said he replaced the small diamond with a big diamond?
Yeah, so that smaller diamond was actually very valuable and it was very precious. And it was a rare diamond. You know, these diamonds have different grades, right? So it was a very rare diamond. Though the was bigger and still the value of this diamond was much higher. So that's how it
was. Oh, okay. That's why I got confused. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Very nice lecture, very nice class. Mataji, about the Rishi Sringa story, you mentioned, is it mentioned in Ramayana or Bhagavad? I think you mentioned both. So in the
Bhagavatam, it is mentioned just in one verse. You know, the whole entire story is condensed in actually three verses, not one verse. And that was in 9th canto, when the Surya Vamsha is being described, right, 9th canto. So in the beginning, when they talk about Dasharatha Maharaj and Romapada, that time, this is canto 9, chapter 23, verses 7 to 10. The entire story is condensed in three lines, but the elaborate story, you can read in Balakanda Valmiki Ramayana, or the Mahabharata also has a detailed retelling of this entire story. Mahabharata, I've written down the reference. Let me see. It's there in three scriptures, Prabhuji. So it says Mahabharata, I think volume 3. That's it. I don't know for the details. I didn't read the Mahabharata. So I don't know.
That's okay, Madhuri. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Humble obeisances. I have just one small comment.
Yes, sir. You know, Maharaj.
Comparing Hiranyakashipu to Maharaj Vena. Actually. Seeing that their destination, because Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Narsingadeva, the Lord appeared personally to take care. Vena is very unfortunate. So this question is asked in Srimad Bhagavatam also. In our Parampara, Acharya also described this. That how if Vena was as atrocious and why he made the destination not as the destination made by Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So it is described that although he was, but they were not conscious of Krishna. The Vena was not conscious of Krishna. In intense enmity or anger, like Shishupal. And so the Siddhanta goes that yena kena prakarena manah Krishna niveshayat. So Hiranyakashipu, Shishupal, all these, those who played the role as a demon, they were completely absorbed in the thought of Krishna, even through enmity or anger or like that. But Vena was not absorbed in the thought of Krishna. That's why, although he was very atrocious, he did not have that fortune to attract Krishna.
Yeah. Beautiful, Maharaj. Thank you so much. That is so nice.
Actually, every time I hear devotees like you and all, I feel you all speak so well. So it's really a feast for me to hear in the morning. You know, so many things devotees cover. You know, they are so systematic and so educated, and it's a great joy for me to join you all. I don't think I could have covered or covered so wonderfully this class. And every day I'm just feeling that it's a great blessing that Srila Prabhupada and all our followers of Srila Prabhupada, they have created such a system. Anybody who joins through any angle, he will be offered the same ultimate benefit which we have all acknowledged in our own lives. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you very much for your association.
I know, we are so fortunate to have you on the call, Maharaj. It's a blessing for us.
Yes, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Mati. Please accept my humble obeisances. I really like the class, Mati, especially how you give the oral context and themes for this chapter and then went through different sections and explained nicely the ultimate point and how we can practically apply also. One specifically point I appreciated, I want to share, and then I also want to ask a question on the same thing so that I can develop more appreciation on that. So the point I liked it is when you were sharing the story about Rishi Singha, Angadesh, I think, in that place, there was no rainfall, primarily because there is no sacrifice, and that is because there are no brahmanas there, because of the previous curse. When you were sharing that developed some appreciation for me, how brahmanas have so much value in Vedic culture, and this is one aspect of brahmanas, because they're not there, nobody can do sacrifice. Because of that, no necessities also come. That is one aspect I was appreciating. And then obviously Prabhupada describes in different places in his books how the main reason brahmanas are respected and need to be protected is they're the ones who are giving the knowledge of the ultimate goal for us, and they're giving the Vedic knowledge. So that way they're telling us how to go to the ultimate goal, basically, instead of being trapped in whatever we want to do to be happy in this material world. That was the other aspect I was appreciating before. But from this class, I was appreciating even basic necessities are not there. From this and from this story you described, and how you described Srila Prabhupada also in Hyderabad. And then also was remembering the same thing, like how Prabhupada said, even if a small percentage of the world become devotees, they benefit so much to the world. So I was thinking not only benefit in terms of guiding people to the ultimate goal of life, but even to have basic necessities in life. That was the appreciation I got from this class, Mataji. I'm thankful to you for that. I wanted to ask you if you can share anything else on to develop appreciation for brahmanas and devotees. How they need to be protected like that. If you have anything to share, that will be helpful for me, Matai, so my appreciation will increase.
First of all, thank you for your deep realizations, Prabhu. I couldn't have thought more than that. I mean, you so amazingly put it all together. Thank you so much. I don't know. I'm as of now that. Something that comes to my mind is how Krishna himself says Namo Brahmanya, our prayer to Krishna rather, is Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. So Krishna, he is the lord of the Brahmanas and the cows. A society where Brahmanas and cows are protected, automatically Krishna is very, very happy. So it is so necessary, it's such an essential point that even Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned that if you just have a piece of land and you have a bull and a cow, you should be able to take care of all the basic necessities of life. Because the bull is there to plow the field, the cow is there to give you milk, and you have a land to stay, a piece of land to, you know, reside. So that is enough. Just imagine how nicely Krishna has created everything. So just with these, that's why he's so glorified. And Brahmanas, of course, because without the guidance of Brahmanas, we can get nowhere. So I was just thinking how Krishna himself, he's the Supreme Lord, and who is he most favored towards? He's described as the Lord of the cows and Lord of the Brahmanas. So I think just with Brahmanas and cows, everything is there and Krishna's place. So that is the other thing that was coming to my mind now, Prabhuji.
Yeah, wonderful.
Even for sacrifices, it was only the cow's milk and ghee that we, I mean, cow's ghee actually, that we use in the sacrifice. So even to perform sacrifices, we need cows. So it's a perfect formula that Krishna has put in place. And no wonder he's being glorified by that shloka, right?
Yeah, yes, Mataji, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji, for sharing that. Yeah.
Thank you, Sundaranam Prabhu. That was very insightful. Thank you for your message.
Yeah, that was very wonderful. So the conclusion, I just forgot to share. So one can say that Hiranyakashipu means we know that Krishna says that paritranaya sadhunam. That is the primary reason Krishna comes. And when nobody can protect the sadhus, at that time Krishna comes. That's the primary reason. So in case of King Vena, although he was doing atrocities, the Brahmanas were powerful enough to to take care of the situation. But in case of Hiranyakashipu, it was beyond the Brahmanas, because he was controlling all the demigods and everybody, and he was tremendously powerful. And at that time, the Lord... So this is how the Lord's coming stands out. Mm. When nothing else works, the Lord is the ultimate shelter. That is fine in case of Hiranyakashipu. But Vena was just a small time compared to Hiranyakashipu. So Brahmanas even took care of him. You know, like that. Because of all the boons Hiranyakashipu received, so even Brahmanas were not able to do anything. Brahmanas will try to call upon the demigods to various sacrifices who are the representative of Krishna. But because they were under control of Hiranyakashipu, and because of all the amazing pastimes. So Hiranyakashipu's incidence is very instructive for all the devotees, and because ultimately taking shelter of Krishna, right? Absolutely nothing works. Krishna definitely works, and that is what the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the ways where Krishna teaches that one who takes shelter of Krishna, then even he doesn't have to worry about taking shelter of any other demigods. And that's the specific reason. The Brajavasis who are so attached to Krishna, Krishna thinking, they are completely dependent on me. They are my associates. So why they have to worship anyone else except me? And if Krishna told this directly, they would say, oh, you are God. We don't want to accept you as God. Nobody accepted Krishna as God. So he just appeared as a Govardhan, you know. So Govardhan is simultaneously Krishna and also his devotee. And so this is Krishna's pleasure. But, Vena is like a light compared to Hiranyakashipu.
Very nice, Maharaj. Thank you so much for adding that. That gives us a complete picture. Thank you, Maharaj. Very grateful.
Yeah.
will answer about that, comparing Hiranyakashipu and the King Vena. I have a follow-up question to it, Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu appearance of is coming like a demon. He is a devotee previous life, right? But it was a desire in one way, like, you know, Krishna wanted to fight with the demons. That's why Hiranyakashipu has appeared. So how do we think that, like, how do I put my question? I'm not understanding. But that is why he's so powerful, and that is why, because of him only Krishna has appeared as Narsingha. But Vena is not having that. He's very normal. Like that, we have to also compare. Maharaj.
Well, I can recall one reply Srila Prabhupada gave to similar question. It's not similar question, but a devotee told Srila Prabhupada, it's very difficult to attract Krishna for me by devotional service. So after reading this chapter of Hiranyakashipu, he said, Prabhupada, I want to be a demon. Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, you are not powerful enough to become, you are not powerful enough even as demon, or you don't have the capacity to become powerful enough demon to attract Krishna. So best course is just to try to become a pure devotee. That will be, you will be better off. So in case of Hiranyakashipu, of course he's an eternal associate, Jai Vijay. We all know, but when Krishna enacts a drama for his own pleasure, and in one shot, Krishna takes care of so many things, you know. Ek baan se anek shikar, there's a saying, you know. So, when Krishna personally appears, it is something very special. And so, a question regarding what Krishna wants to teach us the lesson. Because Hiranyakashipu and Lord Narasimha Deva's episode, it teaches us tremendous lesson that we must take shelter of Krishna exclusively. Prahlad Maharaj example, you know. So Hiranyakashipu's and Narasimha Deva's episode is incomplete without Prahlad Maharaj, because we are all representatives of Prahlad Maharaj in this hall. And Prahlad Maharaj demonstrates that we must take exclusive shelter of Krishna. Then we will be assured of all the protection and the best thing, because Krishna is all capable. Krishna is in full control, always, always, always. So we need not worry more than we should. And how much capacity we have of worrying. So that's why we have been saved by our acharyas, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all his followers, that we take shelter of Krishna's name. And that much capacity we have been given. So there is our potential. Our potential is that under all circumstances, we can try to take shelter of Krishna through his name, which is the Yuga Dharma. And all the activities, whatever circumstances allowed to us, apparently positive, negative, or better or not. But since Krishna is in full control, always, 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 acknowledging this fact with awareness, we can remain completely worry-free. Because apparent and real, so the reality for a devotee, for a sadhaka, is that always keeping in one's awareness, either he is in rail or jail or apparently positive, negative situation, but Krishna is still in full control. So I will not be undone. That assurance we have to contemplate. We have to put ourselves into different situations, because most things are beyond our control. You know, we think that our planning, I can do this, I can calculate. All our meditation in this material affairs is very calculative and like this. But most things, even for, they are beyond our control. Whatever Krishna allows, we we tend to take credit over there. I did this, I did that, like that. But only whatever is sanctioned is allowed, we can take. And whatever is sanctioned by Krishna, that is best for us. This understanding has to creep in, because we will face, during the course of our this, earthly journey, this in this body, we will face tremendous situations. We will have no control. We will face, everybody will face, however good our present situation may be, or we will go through the changes of life, and on mental level, intellectual level, physical level, personal level, familial level, societal level, international level, so many situations. But what is the constant factor? What is the anchor of our life? The anchor of our life, that we have been accepted by Krishna through the agency of our spiritual master. And Krishna is the constant factor. He is always in full control. So I will never be undone. With that understanding, this the shelter, means the story of Prahlad Maharaj in Hiranyakashipu's case, is the demonstration that a person who takes exclusive shelter of Krishna, he will be protected, even against the atrocities of Hiranyakashipu. He is extremely powerful. Only Krishna could undo him to take care of Prahlad Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions or comments? Okay, if there are no more questions or comments, let us offer obeisances to all the Vaishnavas and Mataji. Vancha Kalpatarupyasya Kripasindhubhyeva Cha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindhi Jai Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur.
Jai.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji.